It's the most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Well, it is the most wonderful time of the year. Don't you love that Andy Williams song? Adam McManus here in for Kevin Swanson on this edition of Generations. I must tell you that Amy and I had a chance to hear Andy Williams in person in Branson, Missouri at his concert venue that he ultimately created, the first non-country musician to build a concert venue there. Andy Williams died in the fall of 2012 in Branson, Missouri. That specific song that he is known for, in terms of Christmas carols, it's the most wonderful time of the year, touches on but really doesn't get into the specifics of the Christmas celebration. He talks about hearts will be glowing. You'll be caroling out in the snow. But what are we caroling about? John 1:14 says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." And here's a verse you don't typically associate with Christmas, but it really should be. 1 Timothy 1, verse 15, "Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." That's what it's all about. On this edition of Generations, I want to propose some very practical Christmas ideas that you and your family can do. We have done them in the McManus home here in San Antonio, Texas. And it's made all the difference in the world. We get caught up in all the hustle and bustle, don't we? Attending all the Christmas productions and making sure we get our Christmas cards in the mail. But I want to propose some things that you can do as a family that I think will get us back to the heart of Christmas, to the celebration of Christ, the babe in Bethlehem. On this edition of Generations, I want to propose 8 specific ideas of what you and your family can do this Christmas season that will bring you together as a family and draw you closer to Christ. In fact, if you do any one of these by Monday, December 14th, I want to invite you to email me at adam@theworldview.com. That's adam@theworldview.com. And I'd like to have the chance to interview one or more of your children about what it meant to them and feature some audio sound bites from your family in the Worldview in 5 Minutes newscast for that very week. So here we go. Without further ado, I want to give you some of these ideas. Number 1, there's really nothing that melts the heart of a neighbor faster than the gift of homemade cookies. I don't know if you've got a special chocolate chip recipe or oatmeal raisin or just a traditional Christmas cookie that's a sugar cookie. But whatever it is, make a batch of cookies. Don't go crazy. I'm not talking about the entire neighborhood. I'm talking about just your street and maybe an adjacent street. You know the people. They know you. You've seen them as they drive by. You've waved to them. Hopefully you know your next door neighbors and those across the street better. But what a great way to communicate the love of Christ than through a batch of homemade cookies. Make a beeline for Hobby Lobby. Get one of their wonderful paper plates that talk about the babe in Bethlehem, Christ the Savior, in terms of a presentation that would itself draw people to Christ. And more importantly, consider sharing a personal note as you deliver those cookies. If you traditionally send out a Christmas card and you have a picture of the family, include the picture of the family and then a note just to let them know how much you appreciate being their neighbor. Make enough cookies so that each plate has about 4 to 6 cookies on it. Wrap each plate of cookies with some saran wrap. And if you don't happen to know their name, just write Merry Christmas from the whatever your names happen to be. But do something in that note that will point them to Christ. Perhaps pick out a Christmas verse from the Bible that you could just handwrite. Matthew 1:23, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us." Or perhaps you could write out the verse from Isaiah 9:6, For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. All right, so that was idea number one. Idea number two does not involve baking at all. Maybe you're a family that just doesn't bake cookies, or you just don't have the time to do it. Here's another idea. Go out to your nearest box store or your supermarket and buy a bunch of candy canes. I'm not talking about those little dinky ones. I'm talking about something substantial, one of these 5 to 6 inch long candy canes. And look up online the legend of the candy cane. Get your kids involved in this project. You could print out the legend of the candy cane. Invite your children to help put it all together by taking a paper hole punch and punching a hole in the corner of the piece of paper and then attaching that piece of paper with a red ribbon to the candy cane. But here's a short version that you could find on the internet. It says, the candy cane legend. Look at a candy cane and what do you see? Stripes that are red, like the blood shed for me. White for my Savior, who is sinless and pure. J is for Jesus, my Lord, that's for sure. Turn it around, and a staff you will see. Jesus, my Shepherd, is coming for me. And then here's a longer version. This one says, many years ago, a candy maker wanted to make a candy at Christmas time that would serve as a witness to his Christian faith. He wanted to incorporate several symbols for the birth, ministry, and death of Jesus. He began with a stick of pure white hard candy, white to symbolize the virgin birth and the sinless nature of Jesus, hard to symbolize the solid rock, the foundation of the church, firmness to represent the promise of God. The candy maker made the candy in the form of a J to represent the name of Jesus, who came to earth as our Savior. He thought it could also represent the staff of the Good Shepherd, with which he reached down into the ditches of the world to lift out the fallen lambs who, like all sheep, have gone astray. Thinking that the candy was somewhat plain, the candy maker stained it with red stripes. He used 3 small stripes to show the stripes of the scourging Jesus received, by which we are healed. The large red stripe was for the blood shed by Christ on the cross, so that we could have the promise of eternal life. Unfortunately, the candy became known as a candy cane, a meaningless decoration seen at Christmas time. But the true meaning is still there for those who have eyes to see and ears to hear. So whether you print out the short version of the legend of the candy cane or a long version, either way, it's something that points people to the babe in Bethlehem. When you go, you're not just passing out the candy cane. I'm going to challenge you to consider singing, caroling as a family in your neighborhood. You can wear a festive hat, a scarf, a sweater. And what I want to challenge you to do is select one Christ-centered Christmas carol. Not Jingle Bells or something like that, but something like Silent Night or Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Just sing the first verse of maybe one or two Christ-centered Christmas carols. Within the first 3 notes after you ring that doorbell and they come to the door, they'll have wide smiles on their faces. They will thoroughly enjoy it. I mean, they'll feel like they're in a movie. Who Christmas carols anymore these days? And at the end of your singing, one of your children can hand one of those candy canes with the legend of the candy cane attached to it along your street and maybe an adjacent street. All right, idea number 3. Have you ever had an Advent wreath on your dining room table throughout December? Well, it is really special. It's something that we have incorporated as a tradition here in the McManus home. I would recommend that you Google Mark Roberts' Advent Devotional Guide. He has in there some great ideas for scriptures that you can read, songs that you can sing, and prayers that you can pray as you light the different candles. Now, traditionally, there are 3 purple candles and 1 pink candle. You can either buy this on Amazon or perhaps even at a Hobby Lobby near you. Mark Roberts explains that Advent is a word that means coming or visit. In the Christmas season of Advent, we prepare for the advent of Christ at Christmas. Our preparation includes many things. We remember Israel's hope for the coming of God's Messiah to save, to forgive, and to restore. We remember our hope for the second coming of Christ. We remember our need for a Savior to save us from our sins. We prepare to welcome Christ at Christmas into our world and into our hearts. By lighting one candle each week of Advent, we help ourselves get ready for the birth of Christ. Now, the candles have different meanings, each based upon the Bible. And just to give you an example, he suggests that you read one of these scriptures, Psalm 80, verses 1 through 7, where we join the people of Israel as they invite God, their shepherd, to save and to restore them. Or Isaiah 40, verses 1 through 11, a passage that looks ahead to the coming of the Lord who will care for his people like a shepherd. Or Revelation 7, 9 through 17, where like God's people before the coming of Christ, we also look ahead to the time when Christ, who is both the Lamb and our shepherd, will finish his work, and God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. So then you have the time of the lighting of the candle. Mark Roberts, in his devotional guide, suggests the very words that you can say. We light this candle because, like God's people centuries ago, we also look forward with hope to the coming of the shepherd. The purple color of the candle reminds us of the seriousness of our hope. And then there's a prayer of hope. Dear God, as we light this candle, we hope for your coming as our good shepherd. Please gather us in your arms. Feed us with spiritual food. Wipe away every tear from our eyes. And let your face shine that we may be saved. Come, our shepherd. Amen. And then to close, you just sing to the tune, O Come, Let Us Adore Him. O come to us, our shepherd. O come to us, our shepherd. O come to us, our shepherd, Christ the Lord. So that's the first of the four candles. Three purple, one pink. And I'm not going to go into the details of the other, but just to say that the second candle is about forgiveness. You're singing, O come to us, forgive us. And there's scriptures and prayers that go along with all this. Then the third candle, a reference to waiting with joy. The song is, We wait for you rejoicing, Christ the Lord. And the fourth candle references waiting for the sun. The prayer and the scripture readings, the lighting of the candle. And then, O come now, Son of David, is the song. And then you have a large white candle in the middle that you light on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day to celebrate the birth of Christ. It's called the Christ candle. And it has its own scripture readings and song. We've got younger kids, and they love this. Honor, who's 11, Mercy, who's 9, and Valor, who's 5. We will dim the lights or even turn off the lights altogether as we light those candles because it's just a wonderful time of togetherness as a family. So that's idea number 3. I'm hoping that you'll be one of the few to do idea number 4. It's perhaps out of your comfort zone, but I want to invite you as the parent to contact your local Salvation Army and volunteer to ring the bell in front of the traditional red kettle to raise money for the needy for 2 hours with your family. Typically, we stand in front of a Walmart. Now, we wear those red aprons featuring their slogan, Doing the Most Good. And I'll be honest, the children marveled at how many people stopped to put money in the locked red kettle. Several shoppers asked them to sing a Christmas carol. And one lady said, I've heard that bell ringing all season, but I didn't decide to give until today when I saw your kids. So there's something to be said about the presence of a family with children to touch people's heart and to inspire them to give to the needy. The Salvation Army does such wonderful work, and they do it in the name of Jesus Christ. It gets our children to look to the needs of the needy, and it helps them invite others to participate in blessing the needy. You know that famous song that Mel Torme sang? Silver Bells. Let's hear just a little bit of it right here.
Silver bells, silver bells,
It's Christmas time in the city. Ring-a-ling. Hear them ring. Soon it will be Christmas Day.
Did you know that Silver Bells was all about the bells rung by the Salvation Army volunteers? I love that. I just discovered that recently. As you ring the silver bell, and your children in particular ring it, you're going to have so many people who are making a beeline for Walmart's front doors stop, take a look at what's happening, and pull some money, some change, a dollar or two, or maybe in a $5 or $10 bill, and put it in that red kettle with great joy and a sense of satisfaction. They're so used to seeing an adult ring the bell alone. To see an entire family stand in front of that Salvation Army kettle, and they'll give you all the red aprons that identify you as a Salvation Army volunteer. When we've done it, we've asked for a specific time window where we as a family can do it together, maybe on a Saturday. But they'll give you a time slot that works for your schedule. You can sign up to do 1 hour or 2 hours. There's something very special when a child is ringing the bell, the whole family is present, father, mother, and children. Whether you have a small family or a large family, it's going to get the attention of shoppers. It's just a wonderful way to give back this Christmas season. And remember this, that if you do one of these ideas by Monday, December 14th, write me, adam@theworldview.com. That's adam@theworldview.com. Include your name, your city and state, and a phone number. I will get in touch with you to possibly feature you in an interview that will be heard that week on The Worldview in 5 minutes at theworldview.com. We're going to take a quick time out. When we return, I will reveal the final four ideas that you and your family can do this Christmas.
Ever since the creation of the Garden of Eden, Satan has been working his hardest to erase the knowledge of God and seduce the creatures made in God's image to think that they are the center of the universe. One look at today's society and you see his progress. Humanistic thought has inundated our culture, and we can trace its roots directly back to the classroom and the textbooks we're setting in front of our kids. That's why every Christian homeschool parent should have a curriculum that's not only rock solid academically, but most importantly will point students back to their Creator as the source of all wisdom and knowledge, and to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. If you've been struggling to find such a curriculum, look no further. Here at Generations, we've spent over 15 years developing our Christian discipleship curriculum to help Christian homeschool parents like you pass on the faith to your children by teaching a God-centered view of life and integrating the Bible into every lesson. Our goal is to not only help you meet your students' academic needs, but also to assist you in discipling your children for generations to come. So get started today with our Christian discipleship curriculum and watch your children marvel, learn, and mature as they embark on a God-focused learning adventure to discover more about the world around them and the one who made it all. You can learn more about our curriculum resources and pick up our newly released fifth grade curriculum pack today at generations.org/curriculum. That's generations.org/curriculum.
Welcome back to this edition of Generations. I'm Adam McManus, in for Kevin Swanson. We're talking about eight unique ideas that you and your family can do at very little expense this Christmas season that will, I think, draw you closer together as a family and ultimately point to the babe in Bethlehem. The first four ideas: make a batch of homemade cookies, pass them out to your neighbors with a note to each that you can give to everyone on your street and an adjacent street. Go caroling and pass out candy canes with an attached Legend of the Candy Cane. Go online and look up Mark Roberts' Advent Devotional Guide and consider getting an Advent wreath by Amazon or at a Christian bookstore near you with three tapered purple candles and one pink candle and then one big white pillar candle in the middle to do the Advent wreath every night. And that devotional guide you can print out is just fabulous. We've been using it for years. And the fourth idea was to call your local Salvation Army and volunteer as a family to ring the bell, the silver bells that Mel Torme sings about, by a red kettle for the Salvation Army in front of a Walmart for about 2 hours on a Saturday, perhaps. Okay, so here are the final four ideas. When you think of Christmas, perhaps the last thing you're thinking about is children whose father is imprisoned. But there are so many where that is indeed the case. Prison Fellowship, founded by the late Chuck Colson, has the Angel Tree program. There are a variety of ways you could do this. Perhaps your church already has an Angel Tree set up in the foyer and the hallway in your church where you can take a tag and it tells you the ages and the gender of the children and a kind of a practical suggestion gift like a pair of jeans. And then maybe a toy or something, or if it's an older person, maybe a teenager, maybe a Christmas CD or an inexpensive watch or something like that. Some people do the Angel Tree where you buy the gifts and then you return them to the church and they get them to the family. That's one way of doing it. A second way is you buy the gifts, you return them, and they will tag them and have a Christmas party where they invite the various families whose father is in prison or husband's in prison. They come together at a central location, could be your church, could be another location, to receive the gifts. But what we do in our family that is so meaningful, we will select one family where there are two or three children whose father's in prison. We know what the ages are, and there's a phone number typically we can call just to get some ideas from the mother about the practical gift and sizing or for clothes and the kind of toys they might be interested in. We ultimately will wrap those gifts and will deliver them in person to their home. And the whole idea is this is not coming from us. This is coming on behalf of your imprisoned parent. He told us about you all, and he wanted to make sure that you were not forgotten this Christmas, and he wants to tell you how much he loves you. So it's a great way of connecting the imprisoned parent with his own children. What better time than Christmas to do that? I would suggest getting a Christmas coloring book, or depending upon the ages of the children, but something that points them to Christ, maybe a tract for children that you can get on Amazon or at a Christian bookstore. The way we do it is when we've talked to the mother ahead of time, what we normally do is we just kind of leave the presents with them wrapped and they put them under the tree. And of course, they want to open on Christmas Day. So the idea is not for us to get the satisfaction of them opening the presents in front of us, although they can do that if they choose. But I would say 9 out of 10 times that we've done this, they just want, like everyone else, to have presents under the tree so that they can open those special presents on Christmas Day itself. But one thing that I do emphasize is gathering the family and my family together. I make sure that our children are part of the gift-giving moment. They've helped select the items. They've helped me wrap them. Then when it comes time to go, after we've given them the gifts, we've told them how much their father loves them, I ask everyone to hold hands. Now, you know, in this COVID time, maybe they might not want to do that, but at least you can stand there and offer a prayer. And you can ask them more specifically, do you have a prayer request? What can we pray for in terms of your family's needs? And inevitably, can we pray for your father that God would comfort and strengthen him? And they always will say yes to that. One of them might be a little under the weather and they might want prayers for healing, or they're having difficulty in school and they want prayers for that, or they're having difficulty making ends meet, whatever it might be. And you pray a prayer and then you leave. If your church does not have an Angel Tree program through Prison Fellowship already set up, then I recommend you go to the website prisonfellowship.org. That's prisonfellowship.org. www.thegardenofeden.org, and you're going to see right there on their homepage ways to bless children through Angel Tree. If you do this, don't forget, email me at adam@theworldview.com by Monday, December 14th, and I might be calling you to feature you in the Christian Worldview newscast that we do at theworldview.com. Okay, idea number six. Have you ever shared the love of Christ with your garbage man? I know, this is pretty unusual. But this Christmas, get your kids in on this too. Write your garbage man a thank you note and tell him, thank you so much for taking the trash away and blessing us in that way. This is perhaps the most forgotten service, but a very necessary service in our lives. In addition to a thank you note, why not bake some homemade cookies for the garbage man? Or better yet, a $10 gift card to Subway or a $10 tip in your thank you note. You could even include a Christian tract that reveals how to receive forgiveness and go to heaven. The kids will just love this, especially if you've got young kids like I do. Over the years, they've just loved running out the front door in the midst of homeschooling to watch the garbage man take the garbage can and dump it into the top of the, you know, they have the big claw that kind of comes out and dumps the trash in the garbage truck automatically when he pushes that button. How surprised would he be to have your kids come out with a plate full of cookies and thank you note, and maybe you could have them draw a picture of the garbage man collecting the garbage, signing it with your name. It would be, I think, very meaningful indeed. All right, idea number seven. Want to bless the grandparents this Christmas? This is something we did several years ago, and it was a huge hit. Go to the toy section with your kids of Walmart and pick up some Hot Wheel cars or trucks, and then make a beeline for Hobby Lobby and pick up some of those miniature 2 to 4 inch tall Christmas trees, and then with your glue gun or some Gorilla Glue, glue the Christmas tree on top of the car or the truck. Let it dry, and then take some red ribbon and push the red ribbon through the open doors of the car or the truck, and, you know, about 3 inches, and then tie it into a knot. And it becomes this wonderful Christmas ornament of a family that just purchased a Christmas tree with their truck or their car, and it's now on top of the car as they're headed home to set it up. And it's just a very nostalgic, easy to do Christmas craft for your kid. And I'll tell you something, the grandparents will eat it up. They will love it. So whether they're local nearby you and you can hand it to them in person, or whether they're many miles away and you need to make it and put it in the mail with a nice note, that's something that will just be a big blessing. Something easy to do and obviously fairly inexpensive. And here's the eighth and final idea. When we think about presents, a lot of times we think about giving something of value monetarily. But most kids obviously don't have money to buy presents. And so they're kind of caught in the midst of this materialistic world, wondering how they can show the love that they have for people in their lives, but without having to have money to buy them a present. Encourage your kids to think about and write down acts of service that they could perform for mom or dad or grandparents. Something like a car wash or making a batch of brownies, rake the leaves, or if you live in a colder climate over the winter, shovel the driveway or the sidewalk, or even something as simple as a hug. You can cut out about 10 strips of paper, and on each, depending upon whether your child is writing yet, they could write it down or you can write it down, redeem for one car wash, or good for one batch of brownies, or good for a hug. And at any moment, the parent or the grandparent could redeem one of those gifts on those strips of paper. And I would suggest getting a colorful Christmassy mini cookie tin at Hobby Lobby. And you can put these 10 strips of paper that are perhaps folded in half inside the cookie tin. And then you can write to Grandpa from the name of the child, or to Daddy from the name of the child. And I'll tell you, that is just a really sweet gift that comes from the heart, that doesn't require much money other than the cost of the cookie tin that you, the parent, can pay for. So there you go. 8 ideas this Christmas that will draw your family closer together to one another, and closer to Christ. If you do any one or a number of these, please email me by Monday, December 14th at adam@theworldview.com. Include your name, your city and state, and the ages of your children, and a phone number to call. And I will possibly be calling you to interview one of the children or a couple of the children to feature in sound bites on the Worldview newscast heard at theworldview.com for that week. I look forward to hearing from you about how these ideas have impacted your lives. I know you'll be blessed. I want to close this broadcast with Romans 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Merry Christmas. I'm Adam McManus, in for Kevin Swanson, as we lay a foundation for the next generation.
It's the most wonderful time of the year, with the kids jingle-belling and